You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to this Blizzard Whiteout edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you by Fargo Basketball Academy and Shoot 360. Joining me today, Nate Zastro. Nate, how we doing, buddy?
Doing good. Big weekend hoops in Fargo, and we are actually snowed in Wisconsin here as well, but I don't think we got quite as much as Fargo.
Yeah, everybody's battling it.
Big night of hoops. Hopefully the fans can get to the arena. And yeah, it's huge. Playing for the 3 seed, basically control their own destiny. So should be a fun weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. They do control their own destiny. And then they need to win. I mean, there's no question about it. Two teams that NDSU was not able to beat at their place. Kind of an ugly opening 0-2 deal in the Summit League. Like, kind of not necessarily set the tone, but push the panic button a little bit. You know, rough non-conference, go to St. Thomas, go to Western, look like crap. It's like, oh boy, you know, this might be a struggle. While we have a chance here, let's roll right into the news. As came out in The Athletic, Grant Nelson has declared for the NBA draft. He will retain NCAA eligibility. He will go through the process, similar to what happened with Max Azmus, similar to what happened with Baylor Shireman. Obviously, North Dakota State, you're hoping that Grant goes the Max Azmus route and has a phenomenal mid-major season like Max is having now, becomes heavy favorites to go to the NCAA tournament. I would definitely put North Dakota State as the heavy favorites to go to the NCAA tournament from the Summit League next season. With everything that South Dakota State loses and everything that Oral Roberts loses, more importantly, I think, You bring back everybody from this North Dakota State crew and add a Eli Bradley, add a Derek Doucette, and potentially a different backup point guard or a different point guard situation if you do lose a Yoder or you do lose a Des McKinney in the transfer portal. Not saying either of those things are going to happen. It's just I think it's a might with both. And I tell you, They would be prohibitive favorites. I think maybe not at the level that ORU is now, but everybody on this roster advancing 1 year in experience, ability, progression with Jason Miller, comfortability with each other, they'd be a wagon next year, man. They'd be a wagon.
I haven't looked at other teams. What seniors they really have more in depth. Obviously, we know that our squad doesn't have any seniors, but you also never know with the transfer portal. I mean, you could have a couple surprises like we had last year. You'll have some who kind of were fine with, but you never know at the mid-major level. You could have any of these kids like an Andrew Rohde, who's a freshman who you hear rumors about. If anyone's an all-league player at the mid-major level, you know there's going to be some high majors that are going to be sniffing around and trying to get these kids.
Yeah, for sure. I think you could pretty much count on Dentlinger and Arians being gone, along with Matt Mims from – oh, no, Matt Mims is a junior. But you can basically and one kid that I think is going to have plenty of opportunities is Zeke Mayo. I know anything, but I would guess that young man's going to have plenty of opportunities. And Luke Apple's a senior as well, but obviously, I think, could take a medical redshirt for everything that has happened this year. I just don't foresee next year's version of South Dakota State competing with NDSU if NDSU literally brings the entire roster back. I just don't, you know, with a year of progression for Tejavis and Tejavis and Damari and Jakari White and everything with Hostrider and another year for Morgan. If they were able to bring Nelson back and a senior campaign from Bowden Skunberg, I don't see it. I wouldn't be able to see it. NDSU women can secure a WNIT bid with two road wins this weekend, secure the number two ranking in the Summit League, head to the women's NIT. And Nash Jensen was selected in the USFL draft. So Nash will have the other league to fall back upon if it doesn't work. But I would guess that Nash will be fringe seventh round pick and one of the guys that if he's not selected in round seven will be immediately signed to an NFL team and go to their camp. So I understand a USFL team wanting Nash's rights. I get that fully, but I would guess he'll be in an NFL camp. Folks, check out Tundra Insurance in Horace, North Dakota, immediately south of Big Irv's. Former Bison Quinn Ollo is there. Give him a call at 701-969-1661. Work up to 20 different carriers. They have commercial insurance. They have auto insurance, life, home, health, whatever it is that you need. And they'll be able to shop around for you. Don't waste your time doing that. And don't waste your time going to major insurance companies that just sell one product, because they can only give you one price. Check out Tundra Insurance at tundrainsurance.com or give Quinn a call at 701-969-1661. Big weekend for the Bison, Nate, with the road dub at KC, a team that had actually beaten NDSU in Fargo. And then the battle down at Oral Roberts. What did you take away? You know, we wanted to go get a road split, and they went and got a road split.
Yeah, I think the Kansas City game made them play a little – I guess they didn't show it at the start against Oral Roberts, but made them play a little more loose against Oral Roberts. They got the big win that they needed to put themselves in position to control their destiny for the three seed. And, Kansas City, I mean, I think obviously they're struggling. They got swept by UND and lost another home game to them on Saturday. So they're kind of not playing as well, especially as they did in Fargo earlier this year. I think NDSU just proved that they're the more talented team. And it just showed that they didn't play very well in Fargo, and they let the two players go off that you literally can't let go off. And they shot a bunch of shots and did shoot a very high percentage, and NDSU kind of controlled that game. So that was good to see. The Oral Roberts game, you're not going to go there down 23-5 to start the game and win on the road against probably one of the better teams we've seen in the league. I mean, they're going to go undefeated. They might be joining South Dakota State as the only undefeated teams ever in the Summit League when they did it just last year. But they came back. I mean, they showed some battle. They had a chance late in that game where if they got a couple more stops, they had a chance to put themselves in position to win the game. And I don't think many teams have held Oral Roberts. I think it was like 43% from the floor. You're not going to see that very often from that team. I mean, they lead in basically every offensive category in the league. You held Asmus in check to a low shooting percentage, but getting down 23-5, when you look at the whole 40 minutes, that's a tough hole to dig yourself out of. And end of the game, you're putting so much energy into coming back. Legs could have been a little extra tired to make that final push in the end.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing too, is like, can they beat Oral Roberts? Yes, they can. You can see a game, you know, especially on a neutral floor. Honestly, probably a pro NDSU floor, if it happens to be decent weather to get down there. Like, Oral Roberts never has much of a crowd in Sioux Falls. They don't travel particularly well. It's a long way to travel, but they've never had a ton of support outside of probably the players' parents and, you know, a couple high level boosters that can make it up to Sioux Falls. But they've always complained, because Paul Mills is a whiner. They've always complained about, you know, the atmosphere up there and how it's a road game for them. And so it would be a interesting situation, you know, for sure.
And I said 43%, it was 36.9. So, I mean, if you hold Oral Roberts to that, you want to beat them. Are they going to do that defensively again? Probably not, but I think that they're going to play a little better offensively as well. And they had just had too many cold spells in that game. But I think NDSU is definitely a team that Oral Roberts surely doesn't want to see in Sioux Falls before the final either.
No, for sure. For sure. All right, now, an exclusive interview with myself and the alien unicorn, Grant Nelson. I think you guys will find this one quite interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I mentioned the Lance, kind of the last question. Last year at this time, obviously so emotional with Rocky and Sam and Tyree and everything that they meant to the program. Kind of odd going into a last weekend at home with no senior day, no, you know, guys that you're necessarily saying goodbye to. Is it just a different feeling, obviously, than your first couple of years?
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, it's exciting having a young group that has improved so much over the past 3 months or while we've been playing. I mean, it's great to see that we have such a high ceiling and that we can get so much better. But, I mean, yeah, it's definitely different than past years. And, I mean, I feel it's an advantage that we have.
How did this group learn how to win? It's something I asked Lance, and that was, you know, I can't imagine 2-13 is the way you wanted this thing to begin, and that number might not be 100% correct, but obviously didn't get the start. How did this team learn how to win?
I mean, yeah, definitely a rough start, but I feel we needed that at the beginning to kind of get this group going. We needed to see those wins, so it gave us confidence to, you know, keep getting better at practice, keep getting better in games, and like what Lance said, it's all about just getting better every day at practice or whether that is in the game. And I mean, I feel like that was the biggest thing for us, was improving daily.
Your I don't know if hype's the right word, but the buzz surrounding you has been obviously significant, but everybody has said how, you know, well, you've handled it, how you've stayed committed to this team and that you are focused. How does that work? How do you kind of, I mean, is it elimination of maybe some social media channels? Is it just kind of some blinders? How is all of that sort of happening for you?
I mean, just kind of staying away from it right now. I mean, I've tried to do as best as I could about that. But other than that, I mean, I've just been trying to do what's best for this team, keep doing what my teammates want me to do, what my coaches want me to do, and that's win.
It came out today, and I just want to kind of sort of on our record that you do plan on entering the draft but retaining your college eligibility. That is correct?
Yeah.
So does it dawn on you, you know, we already talked about no senior day. Could be your senior day. Does that resonate with you at all? Have you thought that far ahead that maybe these are your last two games here?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about that this could be my last time ever playing college basketball, and this could be my last time playing at the Shack. But I mean, it's exciting moving forward, and I mean, I'm gonna do my best to do what I can to get drafted this season. But if not, I mean, my future still has a long road.
You think that road still goes through Fargo?
That's still what I'm unsure on, but I mean, there's definitely a lot more people that know more about it. And I mean, the main goal in mind right now is to make it to the next level, that NBA level.
I had to try. I had to try and ask. Two squads you lost to at their place in Western and St. Thomas, and two squads, frankly, from a seeding perspective, and I don't know how much you guys care about that stuff, but to stay where you are, it would be best to beat these two teams. What kind of challenges does St. Thomas present?
I mean, they're very skilled offensively. They've got a lot of shooters, so that's a problem that we've been having to guard, is those shooters. I mean, we got to focus on, you know, playing our defense, not letting one single guy who gets hot change our way of guarding them. So, I mean, I think just staying focused on the defensive end and guarding our gaps and helping our teammates out.
All right, thanks.
And thank you.
I want to thank Grant for his time, and now we'll go to a place where Grant has done a little NIL work. I think he's at a camp and helped the folks over at Fargo Basketball Academy more than once. Fargo Basketball Academy, with individual classes, team classes, volleyball, basketball, they've got it all. And Shoot 360, folks, is unbelievable training technology. It's a beautiful facility down on 52nd Avenue in Fargo. Check them out. Stop by. See Josh or Katie Johnson. Unbelievable people. And check them out at fargobasketball.com or just drop in. It's a unreal facility for your young student athlete. All right, Nate. They lost a day game right before Christmas to St. Thomas. As I mentioned, this was the beginning of the season. And after that non-conference and after these two games, it was hard not to just feel kind of gross.
Yeah, I mean, we went through a pretty tough non-conference schedule. I mean, now that you look back on it, Portland was a pretty good team. Eastern Washington, I think, is still undefeated in the Big Sky.
Crazy,
and,
yeah.
I mean, they played some tough teams, and I think we're looking at the beginning of the Summit League season like, all right, time to turn this thing around, and then they go and drop two on the road and didn't play very well either. And St. Thomas, obviously, was a different game, but they didn't have Andrew Rohde, who was their leading scorer in that game. It was a day game, snow coming in. It was a weird situation right before Christmas where you probably really don't want to be playing conference games. But it's a different team. I mean, they were not in a good state. We're not a very good team in December, and it's obviously a very different matchup coming into Fargo with the implications and seating on the line.
It is. It is, because the three seed obviously is the one that avoids Earl Robertson round two. I mean, that's what the important thing is here. It's a likely matchup with South Dakota State in a road environment, because Sioux Falls is closer to Brookings than any other school in this league. And that's been a big time pro SDSU crowd down there ever since the beginning of time. Now, it is still, I can't imagine a better place to have this tournament. You know, Nate, you joined us last year. It was unbelievable. It's always phenomenal. And I would never probably want it anywhere else, but it is a very pro SDSU situation to be like, if we held the Summit League tournament in Wahpeton, you know, I mean, that's kind of the proximity that we're talking about here. Tied for the three seed right now at 9-7. A loss most likely puts them in the 4-5 game. And that, again, it not only are you lined up against Earl Robertson round two, you're also, you know, taking on a Western or a St. Thomas team. Although if they lose to St. Thomas tonight, it's probably them against, probably a rematch against Western, most likely. And that's a team that with Trenton Mastner, I mean, that's, you never know.
Yeah, and we would play them Saturday and most likely play them the next Saturday. It would be back-to-back games against Western.
Right.
And they're the master show. I mean, they've been a tough matchup for NDSU. I think they won in Fargo last year, if I remember right. And since Jeter's been there, they've been a tougher matchup than Western has been in the past. And even before that, I mean, Western, was it them as the 8th seed the 1 year that kind of, well, they beat SDSU the 1 year. Yeah, it's been a tough matchup for NDSU. So the 4-5 matchup would be kind of tough for NDSU to make a run with that, I would think. So tonight's going to be a huge game.
Yeah, for sure it would be. They're the best free throw shooting team in the league, and they shoot 20 attempts per game, and it's because they've got shooters. I mean, it bleeds through the entire roster, if you ask me. It's because they have shooters. And that's been a Richmond staple, is defend without fouling, defend without fouling, defend without fouling. That's going to be a big deal tonight. They also don't turn the ball over. They average the fewest turnovers. They've got a number of excellent, you know, guys that are fourth or fifth year players from the Division III era. And then freshman Andrew Rohde is leading scorer at 16 per game. I think he's going to run away with freshman of the year or newcomer of the year. I think, you know, Vanover could be mentioned in that breath, but you look at the top players in the league, Max Asmus, Grant Nelson, Zeke Mayo, Massner. It's guys that were at least there last year. Massner is a transfer kid, but it's at least guys that were there last year that are the actual top of the league. And so Rohde, I wonder if he's not locked into newcomer of the year. Parker Bjorklund at 14 a game and Riley Miller, who's a shooter, at 13 a game. And they've got really intriguing and athletic freshmen in Ajani Lee, who's a legitimate four-star, and Kendall Blue coming off the bench. And Blue had 15 the first time these two lock horns.
Yeah, I thought Blue looked extremely good in that first matchup. And I know they didn't have Rohde. I think Blue actually started that game, and NDSU had a lot of trouble controlling him off the bounce. He's kind of been up and down this year, but like you just said, I mean, he's got the athleticism, he's got the potential, and once Johnny Lee, I don't think has kind of lived up to that four-star hype as a freshman, but not all freshmen do that. Tajavis Miller's had his moments as a three-star, and it takes time for some of those kids. And I think as time goes forward, those kids are going to be pretty good in this league.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Javis, that's a great point. Like, Javis has looked, he had 20 against Indiana State. He has looked like the guy plenty of times, but then at times you just never know sometimes what you're going to get with a freshman. Not all of them put it together in the way that, like, Zeke Mayo did at the end of the year last year, and he had two higher, you know, two guys higher up on the rung to lean on, as, frankly, as Javis does. You know, he can lean on Skunberg and Nelson, but I understand what you're saying for sure. NDSU just wasn't a very good team in December. And that, I think, has to be part of the equation. Like, this team has just experienced so much. It's something that, if you guys get a chance to check out BRTV, something I talked to Coach Richmond about. They're better. And that was the vision. And so it's tough to really look back a ton on what went on in St. Paul, you know, in the winter.
Yeah, it's for sure a different matchup. I mean, I think everyone on NDSU's team has evolved. That in December, Richmond rarely knows his rotation and who's going to be rolling. And with the young team they have this year, it was even more so kind of throwing different guys in different roles. I think that was kind of the coming out party for Jakari. I mean, he had 15 in that game, wasn't playing much before that, and started playing more after that. Yoder was playing a bunch of minutes, doesn't play as much now. I think NDSU has a more solidified rotation and kind of knows their identity now. And I think it'll be for sure a different matchup. Obviously, Rhodey's going to be an add-on for St. Thomas that NDSU is going to have to really, really defend. And I think that's a Bowden-type matchup that he'll love to have.
Post advantages with Morgan and Nelson. This is an athletic team, and it is not a particularly long team. And I would expect a double. And that was something that Nelson and Morgan both really struggled with high turnover numbers early in the year. How they handle those doubles and how North Dakota State shoots the ball with passes coming out of those doubles is going to be a big deal tonight.
Yeah, I believe it's tough for me to remember that game in December, but I believe they doubled at least Nelson. I actually think they doubled Morgan because I think I was texting y'all, ticked off I was that he turned the ball over so much. So, yeah, they're obviously – have shown that how much better they've gotten expecting doubles, passing out of doubles. And with St. Thomas being a little bit undersized, I don't think Bjorklund's huge. And I would think that that's the Grant Morgan match or Grant Nelson matchup. I think they're going to double and make NDSU hit shots from the perimeter, because if NDSU gets going inside, the perimeter is going to open up regardless, just from them scoring. So I think they got to keep establishing themselves inside, and Grant's been a great team player. I don't think he's really forced it too much, and he's going to take what the defense gives him.
All right, we probably won't get back together before the Western Illinois game on Saturday. No senior day this year, which I talked about with Coach Richmond. He didn't seem very affected by that. I don't even know if it had dawned on him that they weren't doing a senior day ceremony on Saturday. But it's a Trent Masner show. When he hoops, Western does well. He and Alec Rosner have played every minute, six of the last seven games. Masner has 13 40-minute games, and Rosner has 15 40-minute games. Just crazy. That seems unsustainable. That seems like something Dave wouldn't have even done to, like, Lawrence. It's just crazy.
I was going to say, that's the L.A. treatment a little bit, especially late in the year. But, yeah, you usually see it with maybe one guy, and it's a point guard. With two guys, I mean, holy crap. Those Jeter's like, all right, guys, you aren't coming out, and hopefully your legs hold up for the end of the season here. But that's tough to do, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I, you know, he's a Winona State transfer, I think, point guard type, but, like, I don't know, 14 a game. He's a decent player. He just doesn't come out. Like,
you better average 14 playing 40 minutes a game.
I mean, this is crazy. Here are his, and this is going to get repetitive, but here are his minutes in Summit League play: 36, 40, 40, 40, 40, 36, 40, 40, 40, 40, 45. Obviously, all of a game and all of an overtime. 32, 40, 40, 40, 40, and 40. So we will
obviously aren't in foul trouble.
I guess not. Yeah.
I mean, to have that many 40s, I mean, sometimes you get two fouls in the first half, you got to sit. I mean, they don't even do that.
No.
So, yeah.
Maybe that's the key. Get Rosner and Masner in foul trouble, and Jeter will just get confused.
He'll probably still try to keep him in the game.
Goodness. 18.6 per game for Masner. Rosner averaging 14. They are ranked first in opponent three-point percentage, Western Illinois is. But Grant had 35 and 16 in the first matchup. So not maybe the elite interior defenders, either of these clubs that they're about to play this weekend.
Yeah, and I remember that first matchup. They weren't doubling Grant, and, you know, Dave's usually got his system on offense, but it looked like that game he was like, give the ball to Grant either in the low post or at the 15-foot range and ISO, because they were not doubling and they had no one to defend him. I think that would be a bold strategy for Western Illinois to do again. I know they won the game by 19 points, but like we talked about with the St. Thomas game, NDSU wasn't a very good team in December. And I think I put their rest of the team was like 10 for 31 in that game. I mean, they just had no identity, no solidified rotation. They didn't have much consistency. And Grant has kind of been the only consistency they've had for most of the season. I think Bowden's closely behind him, and it's just gonna be a different matchup. I think if it's gonna be about defending Masner and not letting him going scoring, he's a very good passer as well. I think he's probably one of the top players in assists in the conference as well. But yeah, they have advantages inside, and hopefully, I know Morgan was having a little bit of a, I don't even know if he started that game, but it was kind of that stretch where he was going back and forth from the starting lineup and not playing very well. He could be a big key in the low post as well.
Right. No, for sure. For sure he could. Yeah. You look at kind of just the, I guess, the construction of the team. And obviously, you know, offensively, they lean so much on Masner and Rosner. And, you know, saying this is fully understanding that NDSU will be a favorite in Vegas for this game. And they should be treated as such. I mean, they should be treated as a favorite. But it's odd when you're like, they lost this last game by 19. They lost by 19 points the last time they, linked up with these guys. But as far as, you know, guys that play a ton, like there is a 7'1" kid on the roster, but he doesn't play. I mean, you got 2 minutes at UND, got 4 minutes Earl Roberts, 7 minutes. Like he doesn't play. The group that plays a ton just isn't enormous, and that I think is something that they struggle with a little bit, obviously, is size. Like Elijah Farr at 6'8", 7 minutes, and he hasn't played since UMKC on February 9th. The Stevanich kid that's 6'8", he's their highest minute guy, you know, that has any size. But again, what did I just say? 6'8", and so he averages 10 points a game, but defensively, they just don't have a ton of length.
No, and there's going to be plenty of opportunities for NDSU to take advantage of stuff. And I actually just looked at the box score to see what really stood out. NDSU was 1 for 17 from the three. Just not going to win many games on the road going 1 for 17. And even with Grant going off, you got to shoot at least a little bit of a better percentage. So hopefully that changes. I think defensively is going to be the biggest key, and just taking advantage inside. They, like you said, they don't have size, and it's kind of hard to see how they're 9-7. I guess that is middle of the pack, and all their team stats that I looked at were basically middle of the pack offensively and defensively. So if they kind of are what they are, and hopefully being at home gives them a little bit of an advantage and takes care of business after a big win tonight.
Sure. All right, man. Prediction time. Give me a prediction and we will get out of here. As you mentioned, St. Thomas, just like St. Thomas, NDSU was a mess in December, different matchup there at home. Give me a prediction for the weekend series.
I think NDSU is going to find a way to win both. I think it's hard to go against them at home. They're a different team. I know both coaches at St. Thomas and Western are good enough coaches to make sure their team knows that NDSU is a different team. But I think both those teams are going to give them a battle. I think NDSU by 6-8 in both games.
All right. Thank you, Nate. Thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have an awesome weekend. Go Bison.